So one day a man was having a conversation with God, and he asked, "Lord, I've always wondered about time. I know that your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. So what's 1,000 years like for you?" And God responded, "Well, for me, 1,000 years is like 1 minute." "Wow," the man responded. "Well, what about money? How does that work? What's $1 million like for you?" And God answered, "For me, $1 million is like 1 penny." To which the man asked, "God, would you give me just one of those pennies?" God said, "Sure, hold on just 1 minute." Well, here we are, gathered on the third Sunday in Advent, and like that man having the conversation with God, we're still waiting. We're waiting for Christmas to arrive. And so we have lit the third of our candles on the Advent wreath, the special one, the pink or the rose-colored candle. And contrary to what you may have heard, the pink candle does not represent the Virgin Mary. Pink is not for a girl in this case. The rose-colored candle is called the Gaudete candle, which is Latin for rejoice. You see, Advent used to be much more similar to our season of Lent. It was viewed as a time of penance and fasting in preparation for Christmas. But on the third Sunday in Lent, on the third Sunday in Advent, the rose-colored candle would be lit and people would break their fasting and rejoice because Christmas was almost here. Today, we tend to view the season of Advent as a time to pause, reflect, prepare, and wait. To wait for the celebration of the birth of our Savior on Christmas Day, and to wait for him to come again on the last day when he shall judge the living and the dead. In today's gospel lesson, John the Baptist is also busy waiting. He is waiting for a response from Jesus. He is waiting for God to show up and make his presence known. And today's gospel is quite a contrast from last week's. In last week's gospel, John was fearlessly calling out the scribes and the Pharisees, essentially giving them an early Christmas card which read, "Merry Christmas, you brood of vipers. Now repent." But in today's gospel, John is in a very different place, both physically and spiritually. John has been arrested by King Herod and placed in a cell. And after sitting in this dark prison day after day, it's easy to see how John might begin to think to himself, "This is not what I had in mind, Jesus. This is not what I was expecting." Like many of his contemporaries, I imagine John eagerly looked forward to the day that the Messiah would finally defeat the Romans, confront Herod himself, and become king in his place. So I can only imagine John's reaction when Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, not only doesn't do this, but instead he spends his days hanging out with known sinners, with tax collectors and prostitutes, people whom good Jews were supposed to avoid at all cost. And so John sends one of his disciples to ask Jesus what must have been a very difficult and heartbreaking question: "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Of course, Jesus doesn't give John a clear-cut answer. Instead, he responds by saying, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind can see, the lame can walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf can hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news brought to them." In other words, Jesus doesn't respond by describing what's happening on the levels of governments and nations. Instead, he invites John to look closely and see what's happening in the lives of the people. Someone who is blind can now see. Someone who is deaf can now hear. And someone who's had the good news brought to them is now filled with hope. God has not abandoned John or his people. Instead, he is at work on a very intimate level. Like John, many of us have our own expectations of who God is and how he should operate in the world and in our lives, especially when things don't turn out as we expect, when that relationship falls apart, when we suddenly find ourselves out of a job, when we receive that diagnosis, when we suddenly lose a loved one, or 100 other things that shake our confidence and cause us to question our faith. And so, like John, sometimes we may find ourselves asking, God, are you the one I am waiting for? Are you the one who is going to show up and help me? Or do I turn to someone or something else? As we know, our doubts and difficulties can be magnified, especially during this time of year, where everyone and everything around us seems to be telling us the same thing, that this is the happiest time of the year. And if you're not happy, well, cheer up. But in today's gospel lesson, we are reminded of the truth that doubt is not the opposite of faith. Instead, God is often found in our suffering and uncertainty, exactly where many of us perceive his absence. I love how the Christian author Anne Lamott describes this. She says, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. Certainty is missing the point entirely. Faith includes noticing the mess, the emptiness, the discomfort, and letting it be there until the light of Christ fills the void. In 1928, a young woman by the name of Agnes decided to commit her life to God. She said she wanted to love Jesus as he had never been loved before. She wrote in her journal, "My soul at present is in perfect peace and joy." So at 18 years old, she packed up her bags, left her home, became a missionary, and gave him everything. And then God left her, or at least that's how it felt to her. "Where is my faith?" she wondered. Deep down at times, she felt nothing but darkness and emptiness. Yet despite wrestling with these difficult feelings off and on, she devoted the rest of her life to serving the sick, the poor, and the marginalized. She went on to start the Missionaries of Charity, a small order of just 13 members, which now has thousands of members who serve in orphanages and charities all over the world. Today, we know Agnes as Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa's willingness to persist in the face of such doubts brings comfort and strength to a people that an inner life of certainty never could. Today, she is recognized as a missionary for those who doubt. The good news found in today's gospel is that Jesus didn't come as the victorious conqueror in power and might. Instead, Jesus came and continues to come to us today as Emmanuel, God with us, the one who doesn't take all of our troubles away, but promises to carry us through them, the one who holds on to us when it feels like our world is falling apart, the one who enters into our suffering and pain and reminds us that we are never alone. On this third Sunday in Advent, may we remember that Jesus is not what anyone was expecting, not even John the Baptist himself, but he was exactly what we needed. In these last days before Christmas, I don't know where you are or what you're expecting, but on this Gaudete Sunday, may we rejoice that even in the midst of our hardships and difficulties, something new and wonderful is coming to birth. And as we continue to wait, may we move beyond what is expected and discover God's loving presence and joy in the unexpected. Amen.